and to the book of Job, chapter 14. Why do Christians suffer? 1 Peter 4, beginning with verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Now from Job, the 14th chapter, I read verses 1 through 5. Job, chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. I want to read again the first verse of Job 14 and the 19th verse of 1 Peter chapter 4, the last verse of that chapter. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him, and well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. May the Lord add his further blessings to the reading of his word. I know a Christian woman tonight that has a son that has given her nothing but trouble from the time he was a teenager. In recent years, in one of his dope escapades, he was shot in the head. And she was told he would never live, but through her nurturing and kindness helped bring him back to health. And he has been in program after program after program after program to no avail. And that woman's heart suffers, not only in her waking hours, but in her sleeping time. Why? One of the greatest men of God I ever knew was Dr. Ollie F. Parker of Laurel, Mississippi. Pastored and preached for 55 years and stayed true to the doctrines of the Word of God. And yet the last 8 years that he lived, he was bedfast and suffered day and night. Why? out there before me this evening. There may be some of you who are suffering mentally and spiritually and emotionally because of some child that has your heart under his or her shoe heel and is grinding the life out of it. There may be someone out there tonight who is suffering from physical pain that will not go away. I could go on and on and on and give endless illustrations about the suffering of humanity. But suffice it to say, my text says, man that's born of a woman is of a few days and full of what, you tell me? And full of trouble. Job said in Job 5 and 7, yet man is born unto trouble and the sparks fly upward. David said in Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, not the unsaved, but the righteous. But the Lord delivered him out of them all. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and 3, Paul said to the church that probably suffered more than any other church in the New Testament, the church at Thessalonica, many of them had not only been imprisoned and beaten and starved, but they had been martyred. And when Paul wrote to them, he said that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Listen now, for yourselves know that you were appointed thereunto. And you may not like this preaching tonight, but I'll tell you, the God who lives upon his sovereign throne in heaven not only appoints your blessings, he appoints your sufferings. Why do Christians suffer? I will not linger long on this, but we will all admit readily that much of our suffering is brought on by our own sins. Because we read in Numbers 32 and 23, be sure your sin will what? Who can tell me? We'll find you out. We read in Colossians 3:25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. We read in Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen to the next last verse. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And there are many Christian people who have been saved by God's grace, who know Jesus Christ as Savior, who have never bowed to His Lordship, that are sowing to the flesh, and they are headed for trouble just as sure as I stand preaching the gospel. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, lest you should misinterpret this first point, let me emphasize with all the force of my soul and all the love that God has in my heart that all suffering that is brought upon Christian people is not because of sin. And when you look down your nose at somebody who is suffering and the devil raises a question in your mind as to what sin this person has committed, you better examine yourself. Because the Bible does not teach, never has. And no preacher has ever preached that all suffering of Christians is due to sin, and yet some of it is. If I were to pause right here and ask how many of you have brought suffering on your own self because of your own sin, every honest person in this building would stand up. Am I right or wrong? I'd stand up too. They suffer another reason, because of persecution. I told Ollie today, if there is anything that I hope to teach the people at Hill Creek Baptist Church, It is that the world has never flocked to the old-fashioned preaching of the Word of God. The world has never flocked to a man who will declare the whole counsel of God. The world does not love the truth of the Bible. The world despises the truth of the Bible. And many times honest, genuine Christian people suffer because of persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall persecute you for righteousness' sake. Jesus is warning, even in his earthly ministry, that if you preach the truths of God, if you live a righteous life, there are going to be people who will persecute you for righteousness' sake. But if you listen carefully, he said, blessed are ye when men shall persecute you for righteousness' sake. And I can tell you, as an old-fashioned Baptist preacher, that every persecution you have ever received at the hands of the world or a backslidden, cold Christian will sooner or later rise up and call you blessed. Isn't that wonderful? We suffer because of persecution. We suffer because it positions us to help others who suffer. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. Don't forget the point. Christians suffer in order to position us to help others when they suffer. I never shall forget the first funeral I preached, Don. It was the first church I pastored. And in that little country community, there was a one-armed man by the name of Mr. Boyd that owned a little grocery store. He and his wife were faithful members of the church. And that one-eyed man is the best and was the best squirrel hunter that I've ever known in my life. He could take one arm and knock a squirrel out of a tree with a .22 rifle quicker than I could do it or you could do it with a shotgun. And every Sunday night, Mike, there'd be a little sack of groceries in the back of my car. And he fell dead squirrel hunting. And I preached this funeral. And sitting out before me were four big old strapping boys. And I did my best to comfort them. But in my honesty, I looked Earl and Bill and Tom and Joe in the face. And I said, I cannot sympathize with you like I would like to, because I have never been in your shoes. And I told the truth. But then it wasn't long until my father fell dead at 72 years of age, plowing corn in Lawless. And from that day to this, I've been able to comfort someone who has lost a parent. So you see, God lets us suffer in order that we might comfort others. I read from 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. Look closely now. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And I shall begin reading with verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all what? Read it to me. And the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What is the Apostle Paul saying? The Apostle Paul is saying that God has comforted us in our tribulations and in our sorrows, that we may be able to comfort others who need comforting. And then he declares with all the force of his soul that we who have been comforted in all of our tribulation may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, that by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So when we comfort one another in the strictest sense of the word, it is not our comforting, but it is a comforting that we have already received of God, and we wouldn't know how to comfort people if God had not first comforted us. And so Christians suffer in order to be able to comfort somebody else who's in the same position. They suffer because it makes them better Christians. You believe that? You go to the 15th chapter of John, and you'll hear Jesus saying, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He'll continue preaching. And he'll say that every branch that beareth not fruit, he purges it in order that it might bear fruit. And there are times, you listen to me tonight, there are times when as a preacher I need purging. Now, I'm not talking about a physical cathartic. There are times when a deacon needs purging. There are times when every church member needs purging. And he purges us in order that we may be able to bear more fruit. While I'm on this little point, don't you ever forget there comes a time when churches need purging. They are the church. They are the world, journeying together hand and heart, and none but the Lord who knows all can discern the two apart. And when you cannot discern the difference between a church and the world, that church needs purging. Amen. And so he does it in order to make us better Christians. Nobody had any more suffering, Barbara and Ann, than did Job. Lost all 10 of his children. His own wife turned her back on him and said, you ugly sight of putrefaction, why don't you curse God and die? I'm tired looking at you. And all this Job said not, nor charged God foolish. And in Job 23, verse 10, amidst all of his sufferings, he said, he knoweth the way that I shall take. And you remember that. God knows the way that you're going to take in your suffering. He knoweth the way that I shall take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And when it was all over, he had more than he had to begin with. It made him a better Christian. David said in Psalm 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. I want to tell you young people something tonight. I want to tell you husbands and wives something tonight. I want to tell all of you something. You kick your feet out of the traces. You quit serving the Lord. You say, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to let somebody else do it. You kick out of the traces. And there's a God in heaven who sees you. And there's a God in heaven, if you're his, that'll chastise you. Like an old mule that kicks out of the traces and gets his legs all skin up and sore. He learns pretty quick to put that sore leg back in the trace. Because all the time he's got it out of the trace, it's rubbing on that sore leg and it's hurting that mule. When he puts it back in the trace, it puts hurting. And when God's people kick out of the trace, the Lord God Almighty is going to reach down and put them back in the traces sooner or later. That is, if they're his. Mark this down. If you can sin and sin and sin and sin and run with the world and act like the world and just be filled with the world and never get any chastisement, you have never been saved by the grace of God, preacher, deacon, Sunday school teacher, musician, whomever. I need to repeat that. If you can sin, 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 get by with it, and never have any remorse of conscience, and never have any chastisement, you're not God's child. Because God's children, Brother Pierce, can't do what the devil's children do and get by with it. Now remember what I said. I didn't say God's children can't do what the devil's children can do. They can do everything in the world one of the devil's child can do. They can't. But they can't get by with it. So he lets us suffer to make us better Christians. You know the story. It's 100 years old about the sheep that perpetually went astray. And finally the Lord went after that sheep, picked it up in his arms. And as he picked it up, he just reached down, broke its leg, took it back to the sheepfold, put a splint on it, and when they would move in their grazing or to another field, the shepherd would pick up that injured sheep that he'd broke his leg, hold it to his bosom, take him, put him down, and finally when the leg got well, it said that sheep falling closer than any of the rest. And I think sometimes that some of us need a good licking to get ourselves between the traces and start serving God. It makes us better Christians. It brings us to a place that we can give glory to God. Turn in your Bibles to the 9th chapter of the book of John. The 9th chapter of the book of John. This is one of the sweetest stories in all the Bible. Beginning with verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. I think one of the saddest things that could happen to any of us would be for one to lose his or her eyesight. But this one had been born blind. And Jesus walked by. And you always have a group of people that want to ask more questions than they want the proper answers to. And they said, Master, who sinned? His mother or his daddy? Or did he sin? That shows you how foolish that question was. He was blind from birth. A little child is born with the Adamic sin, but it is not responsible for sin until it knows right from wrong. His mama or his daddy or him? Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh when no man can see. Why was he born blind? Did his mom and daddy sin? Did he sin? Jesus said no. His parents didn't sin. It's not because of his sin, but that the works of God should be made manifest. And the Lord healed. And people started questioning him. And he said, well, I don't know a lot, but this thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And so sometimes our suffering is just for the glory of God. I don't mean to personalize, though I am personalizing. I pray every day for Ann Forrest. And I've never heard her one time complain. And tomorrow, you or I could be suffering something far greater than we've ever experienced in life. And that might just be for the glory of God. I bring you two other thoughts. Christians suffer because sometimes it turns out to the furtherance of the gospel. Turn to Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians, the first chapter. Did you hear me? Christians suffer sometimes in order that it might turn out to the furtherance of the gospel. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul said, but I would, or literally, I want you to understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, or turned out, rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now, Brother George, he'd been in shipwreck many times. 5 times he was